Romans chapter 5, and I've entitled the message, The Difference Between the Flesh and the Spirit. The Difference Between the Flesh and the Spirit. And I've only got 2 points, and the comparison here is interesting. The passage tells us the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And you say, how can you know? Well, first off, I can know of myself based on how I act. If I'm acting in a mean or spiteful way, or if I can't get along with people, if I have trouble with people like that, it's not their fault. It's my fault.
Yeah.
And what we see is the fact that the Bible tells us, it's a prescription on whether you're letting the Spirit lead or the flesh. And what we're going to do is we're going to analyze some of these passages here, and we're going to look at them because we all have a struggle between the two. And if you don't have a struggle with the flesh, I'd like for you to tell me the secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the flesh is always going to plague us till we get home, yeah. Till we get to heaven. And the flesh is the problem. The flesh is the problem in churches. It's the problem in Washington. It's the problem in families. It's the problem all over in communities and nations right on down the line. And so what we see here is the fact that the Bible's going to give us some hints on how to recognize, not only recognize in ourselves whether we're doing right or acting according to the Father, or acting according to the father of lies. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, let's put it this way. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside. It doesn't necessarily mean that we let Him have dominion over the flesh. It means that He's living inside, and if we follow the flesh, we're going to grieve Him, and He's going to grieve us. And what we see here is the fact that there's a big difference, a wide gulf, if you will, between the one and the other. And so what we're looking at here is we're going to look at these passages. Let's start with verse 16. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And all the rest of this chapter, the whole chapter goes together, but we're just going to focus on the last portion of the chapter, starting with verse 16. And it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, or revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not enter or inherit the kingdom of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I pray for you just to move in a special way. And Lord, I pray for you to reveal some things to me and to each of us about the difference between the Spirit, following the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, versus walking in the flesh. Lord, I pray for you just to move in a special way. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to be here, to move, to teach us, to show us what you want and what pleases you. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing, what you've yet to do, even here. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things it tells me is the fact that there's a distinct difference between living in the flesh and living in the spirit. And you say, well, how can you tell the difference? Well, let's put it this way. Who do you resemble when you have interaction with other people? Do you resemble Jesus? Or do you resemble Satan? Do you have hard comments? Do you have arguing and disputings with people? Are you hard to get along with? Or are you somebody that no matter who it is, I'm not going to have a problem with them? I got news for you. One of the toughest places, well, I've worked in a number of tough places, but when I was working at the phosphate mines, there were a lot of people out there that were hard to get along with. First off, there were people there that all they wanted to try to do was stir something up. Some of you have worked in places like that too. There are just people like that that want to stir something up. Everything's calm and smooth and all until they walk into the room. And what we need to do is to realize Paul had the same problem. You realize the Apostle Paul had the same problem? Hold your place here in Galatians chapter 5 and go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 tells us that Paul had the same problem too. Look at verse 18 in Romans chapter 12. And it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The Apostle Paul's saying here, there are some people you just can't get along with. They just won't let you get along. And the Apostle Paul, guess what? He tried to get along with a lot of people. But he finally had to say about Alexander the coppersmith in 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. There's some people you just can't get along with. And no matter how much you try, don't you think that Abel tried to get along with Cain?
Yeah.
What about Naboth and Ahab? They ended up killing him for his vineyard. Guess what? It wasn't Naboth's fault. Naboth could not legally sell his vineyard or trade it because it was his inheritance and he wasn't allowed to trade it to somebody outside of his family. But he killed him for it. Guess what? There are some people you just can't get along with. But let's go through some of these lists here in Galatians, and I'm not going to cover all of them because some of these are pretty self-explanatory. But look at what it says in verse 19. It says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness has to do with unbridled lust or out of control. But look at what it says. It says, adultery and fornication. You know that the Lord Jesus compared lusting after a woman just as equal as fornication. Now, none of us, as far as I know, are into that area, but we've got to be careful about our lust. I want you to understand what happens to a lot of preachers And a lot of Christians, as they step into an area where they shouldn't, they should say, no, this is off limits. This is off limits. And they'll say, well, it's not that bad. Oh my. I got news for you. If the Bible says don't, you better stay away from it. But look what else it says. Verse 20, it says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Idolatry, I don't know that anybody in here has a little fat Buddha in their house that they worship. But idolatry can be money. It can be a husband or a wife or children or a job or a sport or a hobby or whatever. Whatever you place number one in your life, that becomes an idol. That's one of the reasons why I think it's very telling in our world today that they have a TV show called American Idol. And they don't spell it I-D-L-E. They spell it just like it said right here. And a lot of people have made music stars and sports stars and movie stars and all their idol. I got number one. You need to have number one as your idol. That's the Lord Jesus. He's the one you're supposed to be worshiping. He's the one. And by the way, he's not like a little fat Buddha in the fact that you knock it over and can't set himself up. He's the one that made you and keeps your heart beating.
Yeah, right.
But look at what it says there in verse 20. The next word is witchcraft. Now, I don't know of anybody here that goes to seances or goes to palm reader or anything like that. But hold on. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15 tells us a little bit about witchcraft. If you know the story, this is Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and this is King Saul. And it comes right here, it comes in. And what God had done is he had told Saul to wipe out the Amalekites. And Saul, what he did is he killed some of them. They killed some of them. But they didn't kill all of them, like God told them to. Look at verse 20. And it says, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Verse 23, I want us to sit up and take notice. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. I want you to understand, the Bible says clearly that rebellion against God-given authority is, you might as well be just bowing down to Satan, because that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Just as bad as bowing down to Satan, because that's who you're worshiping when you rebel against God-given authority. I don't care whether it's the pastor at the church. I don't care whether it's the teacher in the school. The policeman on the highway. Doesn't matter. When you rebel against God-given authority, you're worshiping Satan. And that's where we get. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 21, we'll go there, and it says, let's hit the word hatred. Hatred means that you have unjustified hostility towards someone. That means that no matter what they say, what they do, you're against them. I got news for you. That is territory that's dangerous for a Christian, because God will judge you for that. God will take care of you for that. Look at verse 21. It says, envyings. That kind of sounds like the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Murders. That goes right along with what 1 John talks about, and hatred. If you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. That's what it says. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we went through the list kind of quick, but I want to go through the good list. The list that we should be producing. The fruit of the Spirit is what we should come out of our lives. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I was listening to the men sing a while ago, and they were singing, let us love our father and mother. Let us love our children too. Let us love the sinners. I want you to get that. That's the way we ought to be. If you don't have love for everybody, there's a real serious heart problem. Yeah. I can walk into a jail, and I've never seen these girls before that I saw yesterday, and I can honestly say I love them. Yeah. In the love of Jesus, I love those girls. I love the boys. I love the kids as if they're almost my own. But why do you love them like that? Because I've got the love of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what He produces in us. If we don't ooze with love for others, we've got a serious problem. And if people don't see the love of Jesus in us, they recognize you've got a serious heart problem. Absolutely. Because we ought to be loving people just like Jesus loved. Yeah. Helping people just like Jesus helped. But look at what it says. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. How about joy? How much joy do you have? The truth is, Jesus produces joy. It doesn't. Your circumstances, if your circumstances depend on whether you have joy or not, that's not godly joy.
Right.
Godly joy is going to be there whether even right in the middle of a serious storm.
That's right.
But guess what? We sing the song, and if we'd have gone another few more minutes, I was planning on singing Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Why do you sing that, preacher? Because the joy that's inside of me isn't from me.
Yeah.
It doesn't depend on my circumstances.
Right.
It's a godly joy. A godly joy that makes the difference even when I'm going through a crisis. Because your attitude through the crisis is not going to change the crisis.
Right.
And I've said this many times, and I really believe it. I've proven it to myself. You're as happy as you want to be.
Yeah.
You're as happy as you want to be. Why is that? The way your outlook and your attitude through problems are not going to change the problem, but it's going to help you through the problem.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for people that don't go to the Bible for the counsel. Because that's where it really comes from. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. But look at what it says. Not only fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, but then look at the next one. It's peace. Turn over a few pages over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, let's start with verse 5 and read a few verses there. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You can't figure it out. It's not part of, it's not capable in our finite mind to understand the peace that God gives us when we get saved.
Yeah.
And if something comes into your life that pulls you away from that peace, you need to get back to Jesus. You need to get closer to Him. Get back in the Word. Look at what else it says. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever of things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You know what happens to a lot of us? We get our mind off of Jesus. We don't think about the good things that He's given us. We don't praise Him for the blessings. And what happens is we lose that peace. We lose that joy. We lose that love. But look at what it says in verse 9. It says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Now up here in verse 7, it's talking about the peace of God. In verse 9, it talks about the God of peace. It's not just a play on word. It's the fact that God provides the peace. And He's also the one that is the peace. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. We'll hit a few more of these. It says, "Long suffering." When things go wrong, when things are, you have a problem with things, what happens? Do you get upset? Do you get frustrated? I do. When I'm stuck in traffic, oh my goodness. I get frustrated, I get impatient, I get aggravated. I know none of you guys have that problem, but long-suffering, the Lord helps us go through the tough times. When I spent 2.5 weeks in the hospital, that was long-suffering. What about gentleness? Do people describe you as gentle? We ought to be. What about goodness? When people think about us, do they think about how good we are? How much like Jesus we try to be? What about faith? When troubles come your way, what kind of faith do you have? Do you have more fear than faith? Or you'd have more faith than fear? Meekness. Now, meekness is not a weakness. Meekness has to do with power under control. Jesus was meek. The Bible says, and Moses wrote this, and he said, Moses was the meekest man on earth. Now, he wasn't bragging on himself. God told him what to write. But meekness had to do with the fact that you're under control and not out of control. And temperance means basically the same kind of thing. You don't let... Well, the temperance movement in our country in the early 1900s had to do with, and actually in the 1800s, had to do with giving up alcohol, staying away from the moonshine and things of that nature. And I got news for you. Working at the mines, one of the things that I found out working there, I worked with the fab shop. And one of the things that they did is they had tempered steel. Think about it. Tempered steel. Tempered steel is stronger. But what happens when we lose our temper? It means that we've lost control, we're not as strong as we ought to be, and the problem is the devil tries to get us to lose our temper. Now, I've gone through quite a few things tonight, and one of the things I want us to understand is we all need to make sure that we resemble and produce the fruit of the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. Because if we walk in the flesh, people don't want what you got. You're just like them. You're just like the lost world. And what we need to remember is the fact that if we're not different, we can't make a difference. This world needs the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, you've been so good to us. And Lord, I just pray for you just to help us to emulate these fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, forgive us when we don't, and help us to recognize the fact that we're not like Jesus. We're more like the devil when we let the flesh take control. Lord, use the invitation for our good and your glory. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.